Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Happy holidays, everyone. This is your Christmas show, 2 days before Christmas, December 23rd. I'm your host, Mark Kohler. Welcome to The Mark Kohler Show, where we talk about saving money, protecting assets, making money, saving taxes, better living the American dream. That's what we're all about on this show, and I try to come up with great topics and stories and suggestions and tips every week, and I want to thank you for listening in every week and catching this via recording on a podcast or live on blogtalkradio.com. And welcome. I hope that your holidays are treating you well and that you're getting all of your shopping done these last 2 days and that you have a wonderful holiday season. Maybe some of you are catching a little walk, a run, a little exercise, working off some of that holiday food and are listening to this on a treadmill. Jeff Thompson, I know you're listening, so welcome. Good friend from Salt Lake that reminds me all the time that when he's on his treadmill, he's listening to me on the show. Thanks, Jeff. So anyway, I'm excited about today's show. We've got a wonderful guest, Jim Palmer, author of several books and just an incredible tipster, if you will, on building wealth, marketing strategies. And I myself have got a sheet of paper here ready to take notes today on ways to make more money in 2015. This is a wonderful time of year for New Year's resolutions. I love this time of year to make new goals and put together strategic plans and marketing plans. Ugh, I love it. I've always kind of been a goal setter, list maker. So I'm excited about today's show. So we'll be talking with him closer to the bottom of the hour. Wanted to hit some of the topics that were in the newsletter today. Hopefully, some of you have already had a chance to look at the newsletter. If you haven't, please do. Check your spam inbox. Sometimes they go there. You need to check the right box in the future so they don't go into your junk mail, that you're getting them directly. I hope you are. So please check those out. Look at the older newsletters if needs be. There's a couple great blog articles this week. I wrote an article on the 179 rules for depreciating and writing off equipment expense. I have a feeling we may be talking about that more today on the show. We've got Liddell Ayer, our tipster today from the accounting firm K&E CPAs. It's an honor to have him with us here shortly, so we'll be talking to him. And I have a feeling we'll be going over the tax extender bill that President Obama signed last week. And so please check out that article. I'm debating diving into it, so you can sense the stuttering and and the hesitation in my voice. But we'll talk about that later. Also, Matt Sorensen's got a great article in there on three things to do with an IRA before December 31st. And one of them is the Roth conversion, which I just met with some clients with this morning about doing a Roth conversion, and you can always recharacterize it and get out of it if you don't want to do it later. But if you don't sign the paperwork by December 31st, you don't get to do a Roth conversion. So it's an important one to take care of in the next week or two, and then you can it's one of those tax strategies where you can say, oh, I changed my mind, forget about it. And there's no penalty, no interest, no taxes. It's a great little strategy. So think about that. And a couple of carryover articles from the week before, why an S-corporation could be a good move in 2015. Some of you need to get your S-corp going before the first. Please give us a holler if you want to discuss that. And then Matt's last week's article on putting precious metal and satisfying the physical possession requirement to hold precious metals in your IRA. So it's kind of an exciting topic for those that are holding bullion, gold finger. Sorry, a little James Bond throwback. My dad was a huge James Bond fan. I don't know if I've mentioned that before. Growing up, there was always a James Bond rerun or DVD, or I should say Betamax VHS that we were watching for those 80s folks out there. So anyway, great articles. Check that out in the newsletter. And there's a little video on how to maximize the home office deduction. This is one where before year end, even this is one of my tips before year end, is reimbursing yourself for the home office, making sure you're booking that expense. For those of you that have a small business, the home office deduction is a big one. There's a new simplified method. There's a specific method we talk about for S corporations versus those that are sole proprietors, standard method. Anyway, in this little video, I go through that, and I think it's going to be well worth your time. Any of you that own a small business, even some rental property, should be taking advantage of the home office deduction, so please check that out. And when you go to my YouTube channel, there is a new video every week. I try to record that and put up a new one. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel and share it with your friends and family and your business partners. I would really appreciate that, working hard to provide great video content on the YouTube channel. So there's a little summary of the newsletter. I hope many of you get a chance to get through that again, and we'll be talking about some of these year-end tips, I'm sure, throughout the show. And welcome. Again, for those that are just joining us, I can see a number of you just clicking on to listen live and on the chat window. Really, thank you for listening in today. And before I again announce our special guest here closer to the bottom of the hour, we're going to jump into our tips for the week. Jaron Bergeson beat Liddell to the studio. So we have Lisa Owens back in the studio as usual, running the show there. She's doing a fantastic job. Frankly, I'm going to call her out real quick and just say, Lisa, thank you for all you do in the studio. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
She's my own little Robin. We should probably have more banter between the two of us, We try to keep it a family show, so I don't want to
exactly
go down that path of yeah. But you're awesome, Lisa. Thanks for all you do.
Thank
folks,
you.
If you call in, you get to talk to Lisa, and she'll help bring you out. So anyway, we've got Jerem in this calling in from the Cedar City office in the thriving metropolis of Cedar City, Utah. Jerem, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Mark? Great to be here.
Good. Thanks. You must be in a good mood. Your Denver Broncos are going to make the playoffs. So,
well, not after last night's game. Yeah, overall it's good, but last night was ugly. So.
Yeah. That's true. Sorry about
poor
that.
Peyton Manning,
I shouldn't bring up football.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Well, for those that have listened to the show before, you know that Jerem's not only an NFL fan, but of course a Denver Bronco fan. And he's not a fair-weather Bronco fan. It's not since Peyton Manning showed up. Man, he's got Elway paraphernalia all over the place. He's a diehard. So.
Yep, indeed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jerem, thanks for calling in today, and I suspect you have a great little legal tip or story or example for us from your workings this past week.
Well, I do, and I don't know if you knew this, but it's Christmas in a couple days, just for, you know, as an update. Anyway, and lots of I know lots of our listeners and people at large are employers. You're an employer, and you know, you have a Christmas party, which I enjoyed. We had one here in Cedar City with the accounting firm and the law firm. And I just wanted to throw out kind of three tips for your office Christmas party if you're an employer from a legal standpoint to make sure that you don't get in trouble with your Christmas party. I think that's kind of timely. So and really, this could extend to any party. So I know most Christmas parties for the year are probably done at this point, but it extends to any kind of office party.
I like this. And this is probably going to involve some sort of harassment and jumping up on top of a copy machine. So I'll leave that example to you. But go ahead. I'm here with bated breath.
Yeah, so the first one is, and this one really is more specific to a Christmas party. Don't make the Christmas party mandatory, especially if it's after hours, and some people may have family obligations and they can't make it. Don't also make it mandatory if someone is arguing or objecting to attending on religious grounds. That's probably, obviously, Christmas is a Christian holiday, even though you know it's a lot in a lot of places about the gifts and exchanging and that sort of thing and having a good time. It is a Christian holiday, and so if someone doesn't want to participate on religious grounds, probably not a great idea to force them to do so.
Okay, give us some reasoning behind each one of these. I like it. So, number one, don't make it mandatory. What comes to your what concerns do you
well,
have?
Well, the reason, and someone could say that they were discriminated against on religious grounds, on basis of religion, that they were made to exercise religion in a Christian way when that's something they didn't want to do. So if you force somebody to do that, there could be a claim that you're discriminating against them on the basis of religion, especially if you let that person go at a later point. They could come back and say, well, here's evidence that they were discriminating against me on the basis of my religion. I told them I didn't want to attend the Christmas party because it was not part of my religion, and they made me do it.
Okay. Now, let me ask this, too, because this is one of the first thoughts I have, is how many employees do you have before the ADA and some of these federal discrimination laws kick in? Because isn't it true that if I have fewer than 20, 30, 40, 50, I'm not sure. Again, I'm not an employment lawyer, so this is why we have this type of discussion on the show and bring on experts. But under a certain level of employees, I can fire anybody for any reason, right? And I don't have to worry about those types of discriminatory suits. Or is that not true? I mean,
I wouldn't say. I don't know. I mean, there is a certain level where the ADA kicks in, but I don't think you've got carte blanche below that level to say, to specifically say, I fired you because you don't celebrate Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Because I can fire you because for no reason at all or for whatever I want to. I would play it a little safer than that. Well, this specific act doesn't apply to me, but people still have a constitutional right to freedom of religion. And so if you're saying, well, to work here, you don't. To work here, I need you to attend the Christmas party. I wouldn't do that.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a really good topic. In fact, I know the ADA, for those out there that already know the answer, and you're probably very disappointed that I don't know this off the top of my head, that is the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is not I'm just looking through some of my books and manuals right here quickly, is that is not a number of employee regulated law. But there are some certain laws that are based on the number of employees you have. So I'm making a post-it right now to bring this up on a future radio show and talk about this employment law issue. So I'll leave it at that. I know I'm putting you on the spot as well, Jerem. So
yeah,
let's move on to
yeah.
your next step here with the Christmas
okay.
party do's and don'ts, legal do's and don'ts.
Okay. The next thing I would say is be careful when it comes to decorating the office, if you're decorating the office or having the office decorated for Christmas. Use a stepladder to put up decorations, not a swivel chair. Don't hang tinsel on computers or other sources of heat, and don't decorate emergency exit signs. These are all safety precautions that could cause people to become hurt or injured at work. And obviously you want to try to avoid that for workers' compensation issues. If people are hurt really for almost any reason while they're at work, workers' compensation may kick in and you may be liable for paying those sorts of claims. There are other festive hazards that are around. 3 million Americans roughly suffer from some degree of a latex allergy. So if you've got balloons, that could be an issue. Thousands of people every year are injured by Christmas trees. So you want to make sure that they're secure and they're not going to be knocked over by people who are passing by or that are pulling cables or that they're going to trip over the cable and knock down the tree. Just be careful with your decorations. Don't go overboard. Don't jump up on the swivel chair. We don't want people getting hurt while they're trying to decorate for the Christmas party.
That is a great tip. I think that's obviously less complex when it comes
yeah.
to religious discrimination and all the rules that could play in there. You basically don't want your employees getting hurt because not only are they out of the office, which can affect production and all the things that we're trying to accomplish at work, it also could expose you to liability, and you don't want someone getting hurt at Christmas. So, ooh, great tip, Jerem. Very, very good.
Okay. And then this one, is kind of the last one I had, is maybe the tip number three, maybe skip the open bar this year. Just the reason is employers that provide free drink or put a credit card behind a bar tab, you need to be careful. There is case law out there, and this is a specific case. Three employees of a certain beer company, it didn't say who it was, but of a beer company, they got drunk and had a fight after a work seminar, on improving behavioral skills. However, they successfully argued that their resulting dismissals were unfair. A relevant factor in that was that the employer had provided a free bar and thus condoned their behavior. So if you're having the Christmas party this year, you may want to skip the open bar because if somebody gets in a fight and you decide to dismiss them, they could use the fact that you provided the booze as evidence that you condone their behavior. And that's a case, but there are other issues with providing a free bar. If someone drives home drunk and you didn't provide transportation home, that could come back on you as the employer. There's just lots of reasons to maybe avoid doing that in these sorts of cases. If you're going to do it, be really careful, especially as to how folks are getting home or getting back to where they're staying.
Ooh, very good. Gosh, great tips, Jeremy. You should have done these a couple weeks ago.
I haven't been on the show
for a while.
I should have.
I know. These are good. I think next year we're going to have – I'm going to say this right now. You are in charge of an article in the newsletter next December 1st.
December.
On,
okay.
Yep. Next December 1st, do's and don'ts for your Christmas party, legal tips. I love it. Now, I thought number four was going to be you dressing up as Santa and having employees sit on your lap. That's inappropriate.
That's a terrible, terrible idea. There actually another tip is don't let people dance on the tables or photocopy body parts. That can get into safety issues as well as harassment issues. So watch out for that sort of thing.
I like it. Everybody forgive me. I apologize if that's a little inappropriate. I thought that was somewhat funny. So forgive me as I try to keep the show light. Now, I want to throw this out. As I was here listening to your comments, I went to the EEOC.gov site, which is the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which covers the unfair treatment because of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin, or age, 40 and that's sweet, disability or genetic information. Now, this is harassment by managers, workers, denying reasonable workplace accommodation, retaliation because you complained about job discrimination. So this is what you were talking about in your first tip.
Yeah.
And this is covered under the federal EEOC.gov website. Now, what's interesting here is I was wrong. It's employers must have a certain number of employees to be covered by the law. Number varies depending on the type of employer, whether you're a private company, state, local, or government. Da 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 da. Well, since this show is for entrepreneurs, we're going to talk about private employers. If we go to general coverage, a little further clicking in here, there it is. If you have a complaint against a business for religious discrimination during the Christmas party, or involves race, color, religion, sex, there's our Christmas party. The business covered, the federal laws we enforce, if it has 15 or more employees, work for the employer for at least 20 calendar weeks in this last year. Age discrimination is 20 or more employees. So it goes on and on. Little nice tips here. There's a section on religious discrimination, harassment, disability, age, pregnancy, sex. This is really... I think a help website for some of you that may have 15 or more employees and you want to look at that. So, Jeremy, this is a good thing to bring up again with the religious card and Christmas holidays. That's very good. That's the EEOC.gov website, folks. So if you wanted to research that a little bit more, good stuff.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, Jeremy, thank you. What a fun tip. Very good. I like it. You get a gold star for today.
I appreciate it. I appreciate that, Mark.
All right. Well, enjoy the holidays. And, folks, if you want to talk to Jerem further, of course, he's a wonderful attorney helping clients around the country at KKOS Lawyers. And just call the number. You know how to reach us if you're getting our newsletter or listening to the show. Thanks, Jerem.
Thank you, Mark. Have a great great holiday.
You too. All right. Well, folks, we're going to jump over to our other tipster, the man of the hour, a regular guest on our show. That's Liddell Ayer of Kohler & Ayer CPAs. And Liddell, I don't know if I told you this. I was excited to mention my skydiving that I did over the weekend. I don't know if you knew I jumped out of a plane on Saturday. Did you just see that post?
No, I did not know that.
Yes,
I'm glad,
it was.
I'm glad we paid that life insurance policy last week.
<That's right. laughs> I did actually think of our buy-sell agreement. maybe we need a show on the buy-sell agreement.
Yeah. So how was that?
Yeah, it was scary. And, yes, you almost were $1 million richer. And, when you're up there at 13,000 feet and they open up that door and they're like, okay, you're going, and you look out the door, and it's like it's insane. And you've got this little backpack that's going to somehow save your life that's got to open up at the right time and way. And you quickly change your mind as to how cool this idea was. But, well, I went tandem, so there's a guy strapped to my back, and I was screaming, no, I changed my mind, no! And he pulls over to the side, and boom, we're out of the plane, and I'm just falling at terminal velocity, 120 miles per hour, screaming like a schoolgirl. But anyway, it was very
awesome,
very exhilarating.
Well, I'm glad I'm not collecting on that policy this week, so let's move forward.
Me too. Yeah, move forward. Okay, well, a little side note there. We get to hear about Liddell's hunting experiences with, you know, taking animals on bare hand and all those exciting hunts, but I thought I'd share my little jump with them. So.
All right.
Well, anyway, what do you got for us?
Looking at the new tax law at a 13,000-foot level as a segue into my part of the show. Well, as some of you may or may not know, the Congress passed in the past week the new tax law, basically an extender bill, meaning they just carried forward 13 tax law into 14. President signed it on December 19th, which was Friday. So basically, whatever was going on in 13 as far as tax law, and I can run down a few of these quite quickly, that's what's happening in 14. And within, what do we have, 8 days, 9 days, we'll have no tax law again. We'll have, well, I shouldn't say that. We have tax law, but it reverts way back to prior tax law. That's all they've done the last few times is just done extender bills. So quickly, I wanted to throw out a few items for personal and a few items for business, just in case you had forgot. The first one has to do with the deduction for state and local taxes. Some of those non-tax, non-income tax states, you know, like Florida, Nevada, Wyoming, some of those places, they can elect to take a deduction for sales tax. Another one has to do with higher education expenses, which a lot of us pay for our kids going to college right now. There's still the above-the-line $4,000 possible deduction for higher education expenses. For those of you that are teachers out there, there's still the $250 above-the-line deduction for school teachers for supplies paid. For those people out there that have trouble with their residential mortgage and had to have a foreclosure done, there's still the ability to exclude up to $2 million on the cancellation of debt on a personal residence. A few other items, and then I'll jump to business quickly because I know we're going to run out of time. But there's still a deduction for mortgage insurance premiums paid on your mortgage. There is the energy efficient home improvement tax credit. That's for, you know, doing things like new windows or upgrading heating and AC equipment. But keep in mind, you got 8 days to do it.
Yeah, let me interject if I could.
Okay.
Yeah, can I just interject real quick, Liddell? This is really good, and I want to just say this in a different, more emphatic way. It's crazy, folks. Almost every year there is some sort of tax bill passed, and this is again a last minute freaking fiscal cliff type of thing where at the last minute Congress pulls their head out and we get a tax bill, and we as business owners have to scramble to try to take advantage of any strategies here. I know that some of it is minutia. For many of you listening, you're just like, whatever, whatever, you'll catch it on my tax return. But maybe, Liddell, let's hyper-focus on, because you just brought up one of them that I think is important. We got to talk about the 179. But that is, if someone does go out to Home Depot in the next 8 days and buys a new water heater or some double pane windows or something like that, you can literally go up to the Home Depot customer service desk and ask them which appliances qualify for these different credits. And that's up to a $500 tax credit for purchasing these types of appliances, which is equivalent to a $1,500 deduction for those in a 30% tax bracket. So that's kind of a big deal, right, Liddell? I mean, that's a good year-end tip that we just got handed to us by Congress.
Yeah, and one thing that we are fortunate about is I really expected we would not get the tax extender bill till after the first of the year. So Congress was generous enough to do that before they went home on their Christmas vacation and at least know what we're working with and at least have 10 days to work with it rather than having it come in January and not even having year-end tax planning even knowing what we had coming. I mean, we had to speculate. So Congress did do that for us. The president did sign it. So it was a little bit of a benefit, but it would be nice if they could extend it out 1 to 2 years so we knew what we were working with. Because like I said, there's going to be whole new tax law come January 1 for 2015. Another thing, Mark and I jumped the gun a little bit on this on the last radio show. I had talking about tax redistributions from IRA for charity. That one got extended. Mark and I knew that one would always. So we jumped the gun a little bit on that one a few weeks ago. But that one did get extended. So tax-free distributions, that would have to be done for the end of the year. Energy efficient, you know, purchases would have to be done by the end of the year. Jumping to the business side, these kind of things would have to be done by the end of the year. If you're going to go buy a new piece of equipment, you know, you're going to go buy a new greater than 6,000-pound SUV or greater than 6,000-pound truck and those kind of things, that Section 179 limit jumped back up to 500,000. While we've been planning, all that was it currently in place was 25,000 to expensive equipment. Those sorts of things has now jumped back up to 500,000. There is the 50% bonus depreciation on new acquired assets. It has to be a brand new asset, has never been used before to qualify for the 50% bonus depreciation. And so those are the main things on the business side that you always see people wanting to use is the stuff related to Section 179 and the bonus depreciation.
Okay, I like it. And let's talk about it just a little bit more on a couple issues. Now, again, there's the article in the newsletter. Some of you may or may not have had a chance to open it up and read it. You're on the road. Let's just highlight a couple of these points. What this means is, you can go out and buy a piece of equipment. We'll talk about the truck or SUV or car because there's three different categories there. But if you go out and buy a piece of equipment, you can write it off, literally 100% of it, if it's 100% for business. You can write off up to $500,000 if you purchase it before December 31st and it's equipment in your business. Remember, there's a business use percentage factor, so if it's part personal, say it's 10% personal use and 90% business, then you can only write off 90% of it. But Liddell, this doesn't mean you can go negative, right? I mean, you've got the negative issue.
You can only take Section 179 to the extent of your net taxable income. So let's say you had $50,000 of taxable income in your business before you went and bought this piece of equipment. And you went and bought a $75,000 piece of equipment, you could only expense $50,000 of it. You can't go below zero. You can't create a net operating loss with Section 179.
Okay. And let's bring up the SUV and truck. So I did have several clients yesterday give me a quick email going, Yahoo, Mark, okay. So I can go out and buy my SUV or truck and write off a good portion of it. And that's true. Some of you that may have bought equipment and were limited to the total of $25,000, now you can use that $500,000 limit for your equipment in a sense, and you've got this $25,000 SUV truck with a lower, less than 6 foot bed. So the same rule applies there. It's limited to $25,000 if it's an SUV or a truck with a less than a 6 foot bed, but it weighs more than 6,000 pounds, which is typically your F-150 type, not your little smaller truck. The larger trucks, Liddell, you can go over 25 grand on those, and we're good to go, right?
Right, as long as you have, as long as they're over the 6,000 pound and they have at least a 6 foot bed. They're not subject to the luxury auto SUV type limits if there are a larger truck over the 6,000 and have a 6 foot bed.
Yep. And so, folks, I know we've got, Liddell has got a lot of farmer clients out there that are buying tractors, trucks, four wheelers, and especially these trucks with a longer bed than 6 feet or 6 foot or longer. They're able to write off 100%, and you buy it used. You can put no money down. You can finance the whole thing and still take the write-off. And again, the deadline's December 31st. Now, the last category here is buying an auto that weighs less than 6,000 pounds. We have a bonus depreciation. Now, again, folks, I don't know if I'd recommend this with the lower gas prices. Taking the mileage deduction is generally better for an auto. But some of you may want to go out and buy a new car before December 31st, and it's around $3,000 as your standard depreciation, but then you can get a bonus of $8,000, pushing your deduction over $11,000 plus gas, fuel, fuel repairs and maintenance. What is your take on that, Liddell? Do you recommend people go out with a car and take that, or would you put them in the mileage bucket?
We'd obviously analyze that when the time comes to preparing the tax return, whether it, you got to look at what you're going to do in the future and what kind of mileage you're going to take, because, once you take that actual method, you're stuck. And so you kind of have to analyze right now. If you just wanted a quick write off, you'd probably say, well, I'm not going to go many miles between now and the end of the year. So I'd probably rather have the 11,000 write off and, a couple tanks of fuel. But going forward, if you're going to drive that car, 30, 40,000 miles a year, you're probably going to get a greater write-off for the mileage method. So you may have to take a lesser deduction this year to have greater deductions in future years. And it just has to be looked at on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, and I think I'll just add one last point here and we'll wrap it up. And that is, if you're going to have a business vehicle but lower miles, taking the depreciation up front and doing your fuel and repairs and maintenance could be a great fit. If you're going to put on a ton of miles, I think there would be your realtor, your salesman on the road type, then I think you're going to get much more bang for your buck with that car going with miles. So I think it comes down to what you expect to use via miles. But here's the bottom line, folks. In summary, the 179 deduction passed. We've got a tax bill extender here that's pretty cool. We may send out another update. We've sent out a couple emails on this. So if you want to go out and buy a truck or SUV or some equipment before December 31st, you're a small business owner, you can get a killer write-off. Look into it. Run some numbers. Call the office if you need to talk to one of the CPAs or your personal tax consultant. Woo! Liddell, any final words?
Well, just wishing everybody happy holidays and happy purchasing if you're going to go take advantage of some of these last-minute tax relief ideas. So good luck with everything.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for Liddell for being with us. And we wish you the best. And, have a great holiday season yourself.
All right.
All right, thanks.
You too. Thank you.
Talk to you later. Thank you. Well, folks, we are now to the bottom of the hour, and we have got our special guest. We're excited to have him with us. This is, as I mentioned earlier, for those that got with us at the very beginning of the show, let me reiterate what an honor it is to have Jim Palmer with us. And I'm so excited about this because he's got just a litany of great books, information, and out there for the small business owner on helping him build more wealth. He's the founder of the Dream Biz Academy and Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program. He's the host of a newsletter, Guru TV, the hit weekly web TV show, which is watched by thousands of entrepreneurs and small business owners. He's also the host of Stick Like Glue Radio, a weekly podcast based on his unique brand of smart marketing. And many of you know, even though I'm a CPA and an attorney, my passion is that marketing plan. I love marketing. It's an exhibit in my most recent book. I love to talk marketing. So I've got a piece of paper here ready to take notes. I'm so excited to have him here with us. Jim, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Mark? How's everything going on this pre-Christmas Eve day?
it's going. I appreciate you on a holiday week taking some time out to be with us. We almost canceled the show for the week, but when you were able to commit, we said, we got to do it. We know how busy you are. So thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure. And, you know, when Jessica, who books all my interviews, asked me about doing it on this date, I said, what's the subject? And he said, marketing. I said, okay, I'll do it because I love to talk marketing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so exciting. And I said this earlier. I'll just set the stage here. I love this time of year for goal setting, New Year's resolutions, looking forward to the new year. What could we all do better with our marketing plans? And I know that you've got a litany of resources where you can send our listeners today when we're finished or along the way. You just tell people where to go if you want to give them some additional reading material or videos or web material. We would love to be a follower of yours more. So we're just, again, excited for this time of year to have you with us. So, Jim, gosh, I'm just going to throw it out there. Why do you love marketing so much? Tell us just a little bit about yourself and why you love the marketing topic.
Well, marketing makes it all happen, Mark. I mean, if you have great marketing, you can sell crap. Not that that should be your goal, but you could have an amazing product, offer a service that everybody wants and needs, and without marketing, you're not going to have a successful business. Every business lives and dies on marketing. So, it's so much fun figuring this out, and I've been around the block, you know, a long time with my pre-entrepreneurial career, and so I've seen a lot of brand building type marketing. But you know, for 13 years as a business owner, I've been more involved with more direct response marketing, internet marketing. In other words, marketing that can be measured, marketing that actually draws in clients, things like that. So it's fun because you know you immediately get to put it into play, if you will, and see what comes back to you. And one of the things I like about marketing, and it's actually something I teach, is that marketing is not an event; it's a process. So many people, entrepreneurs, when they're rolling along, they stop marketing. All of a sudden, somebody decides to turn off the spigot, right? And sales go soft for whatever reason. All of a sudden, oh gosh, we got to start marketing again. Well, it's not that easy just to turn it on and have $50 bills flying out of the register again. You always have to be marketing in some capacity, and hopefully on multiple fronts.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and I love back to your original example of how people that could have a great idea and without marketing, no one's going to buy it. And conversely, I see so many clients come into my office where they've gotten this. Frankly, I'll say it, and don't be offended, anyone, if I would never tell this to you. I'll be excited with you, but I see clients come in with dumb ideas, and I'm like, good luck. You know, I'm saying under my breath, but they're great marketers, and they're able to sell, you know, freaking ice cream to Eskimos, and I'm like, what the heck? And so it's just amazing the power of marketing. So, okay, now you've got so many books out there, so many resources. I'm just going to jump around a little bit here, and if I may start with, which I'm passionate about, Jim, you may be very, very impressed. I don't know, but I myself have been producing a newsletter for close to 8 years, every week, a weekly newsletter for 8+ years, almost 700, 600 or so, because we were doing it monthly before that, but 600 to 700 editions of my newsletter. It's been a great way to build client relationships. Every Monday night, I'm working on my newsletter, but you've got the book titled The Magic of Newsletter Marketing, and I know I can learn more here. Please tell us about the power of newsletter and why you wrote a whole book on this. I mean, this is awesome. I already ordered it for my Kindle.
Now, Mark, do you do print and mail? Do you do electronic? Do you do both? What do you do?
Fair question. Now, we do have a print mailed newsletter once a year or twice a year for our company maintenance program for people that are getting their company maintenance done. But primarily, this is the weekly is a e-newsletter. So I email it out. It was print in the very early days, but then went straight to e-newsletter. And I use Infusionsoft. I'm a huge Infusionsoft fan. I've got other clients that use some different methods, but Infusionsoft has kind of been my software of choice. But anyway, there's some background on me, and I'm glad you're using me as a test case here, maybe.
Yeah, no worries. But, you know, I'm glad you do the print one twice a year. I mean, the magic formula that I figured out for almost 30 years now is a print newsletter once a month and an email newsletter weekly is a good way to stay in touch with your clients. The interesting thing is, and I don't know what you can what kind of stats you get from Infusionsoft, which is, you know, one of the premier customer relationship marketing soft pieces of software, but not everybody uses it. But, you know, the fact is deliverability of email and open rates have been plummeting, you know, in the last couple of years. And so when I'm out speaking and people say, well, you know, I just want to do electronic newsletters, I say, well, that's fine, but here's the deal. If you have 1,000 customers and you're going to send out electronic newsletter only, let's say you're wildly successful and you're going to get a 10% open rate, that means 90% of your customers or 900 of the people who've already shown you that they know, like, and trust you because they gave you money, that makes them a customer, are not hearing from you. And so, you know, direct mail, whether it's a newsletter, postcard, whatever it is, direct mail is the only thing that's going to guarantee that it's at least going to get to their home and they're going to see it. Now, hopefully it's done well enough so they open it and don't throw it immediately in the trash. But that's the difference. That's one of the big differences between print and electronic. But so I think that's the magic formula. But you know what? Nothing builds stronger relationships with customers than a newsletter. And I was listening to the first half of your show, and I know you do a lot of different things in your newsletter, and that's good because it's all about the reader. It's all about what's important to the customer. When people ask me what to put in your newsletter, I say every article you think you're going to put in there, I need you to ask yourself, is my reader going to be glad that I put this in there, or are they going to find it self-serving, and therefore is my newsletter become boring to them? Because I guarantee what you think is important about your own business per se doesn't hold anywhere near the level of importance to your customers.
Man, I'm just soaking this up. I just love this. I'm sitting here just listening intently. Let me throw out a concern. Just and I, again, completely agree wholeheartedly, and it's getting me rededicated here to that. Just that valuable content. A newsletter's got to have valuable content. Cost. What's when you talk about print, just to print the paper, and especially if you add color, and then you've got to mail it, you could be a buck a piece right there, just with
right.
Stamp and paper, and that doesn't count the hours of folding and, you know, all that, getting it out the door. What are your thoughts on how to handle that? Is it worth it? Do you have to have some sort of revenue stream that's tied to the newsletter? How do you address the cost issue when clients bring that up?
I love the question, Mark. So first of all, let's back up to more of the 10,000 foot view. I don't do anything. I don't do videos, my podcasts, my newsletters, my books. I don't go out I don't do anything unless there's going to be a return on the investment. So I don't suggest to people, and I've got clients all over. I've got clients in 9 countries, almost every industry using my newsletter templates. And the only way I say you should do it and keep doing it is if it's bringing you a return. The return that you're going to get when you have a stronger relationship with your customers is more repeat business. You're going to get them in more frequently. They're also going to buy more of what you have, which is actually one of the big strategies. So I'm going to pause right here. I'll come back to my main message. But the way my mind works, said, oh, Jim, tell them about this. So I'm going to tell you about, I call it the what else factor. So no matter what business you have, whether you have a service-based business or whether you have a product-based business, you get a customer by way of an initial transaction. On that initial transaction, they finally said, after being introduced to you, referred to you, or your marketing said, okay, I know and like you and trust you enough, I'm going to buy this one product, this one service. Most companies, Mark, have a whole garage full, warehouse full of products, or if you're a service-based business, you probably have half a dozen different ways that you can help that customer. And so what I say is, whose job is it for that customer to find out all the other ways that you can make their life better, cheaper, faster, more efficient, or whatever. It's your job to tell them. And that's why every month you talk about what else you do by way of a success story. Okay, let me get back on track. What was I originally talking about? I think I lost my place. Oh, I know what it was.
Oh,
when you're I'm back. When you're talking about whether or not to invest, let's just use your example of a dollar a newsletter. If you're going to invest, therefore, $12 a year into each customer relationship, the number you have to know first is what is the average lifetime value of a customer to my business. I happen to know that number. The average customer to my business, not my coaching program, but my newsletter programs and things like that, is $2,167. That's the average. I know that for a fact. So I actually have a program called Double My Retention. And what I did is when people joined my program and they only stayed for 6 months, I put in this whole retention strategy, several steps, but it went from 6 months to my average customer now stays 21 months, okay, with me. And I know we're covering a lot of ground in a short period of time.
No, this is excellent. Excellent. You're, run with it.
I want to make sure I give you value. So here, so people ask, well, how much does that cost? Because I'll mail them a book. I'll send them a little thing of cookies initially. You know, I'm excited to have you as a new client. I spend $42.79 on every new customer I get, okay, over this 6 to 9 month period. That is my retention strategy. People go, oh my gosh, I can't spend $42.69 on every customer. I said, but you know what happened? My average lifetime value of a customer went from just under $700 to $2,100. Now, with me putting that money out and with me seeking and proactively engaging and developing stronger relationships with my customers, I added in round numbers about $1,400 in revenue. So the question you ask yourself, if you give me $42 and I give you $1,400, how many times a day would you do that? So the answer is, marketing is only an expense to your business if it fails to produce a return, right? So I know you had a CPA on the call just a couple of minutes ago, and so You know, if you look at your business, you got your gross revenue less your cost of goods gives you gross profit, and then all the other line items are your expense items. Advertising's right at the top. So if I was to say you're going to invest $10,000 into sending out a newsletter this year to every one of your clients. If that $10,000 doesn't bring in any new revenue, obviously that $10,000 is an expense and it reduces your profit, so you're going to go, well, that didn't work, that stunk. But if that $10,000 investment produced more revenue, if it produced more referrals and it generated $20,000 or $30,000 or $50,000 in revenue, let's say $50,000, and you spent $10,000, you got a $40,000 windfall. So when people say, well, I don't know if I want to invest that, well, you're only going to invest it if you think it's going to bring in more revenue. And if you do it correctly, I say it will.
All right, good, good. Okay. Now, on that profit point, and this is one of the things I wanted to bring up today, is another one of your phenomenal books, more recent, Fastest Way to Higher Profits, 19 Immediate Profit-Enhancing Strategies You Can Use Today. So when you say, Mark, I'm willing to pay $40-something dollars for a customer because I know they're going to spend X number of dollars. Let's talk about that spending point for a minute. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't mind, maybe one or two of these profit-enhancing strategies. What could we do better in 2015 if you were sitting across the table from one of your valuable clients that you've spent $42 on? What would you say? You've got to do this no matter what. If you want to make more money in 2015, you've got to consider X. What would that be?
Well, there's so many, and two of them come to mind, and I'm wrestling which one to give you, so I'm going to try and give them both, so I'll be quick, okay. I'll be brief with each one. Number one, you will earn significantly more revenue for who you are than what you do. I'm going to say that again. You'll earn significantly more revenue, income, for who you are than what you do. I'll go right back to the CPA guy. If you're marketing your services as a CPA and you're in a – I don't know what town you're in. It doesn't matter. Let's say you're in Philadelphia where I am, and someone goes to Google because they need a CPA, or they go to this dinosaur document called the Yellow Pages, if it's still around, and they look up accountants, they're going to find probably, I don't know, $50, $500, I don't know what the number is. And so you got to ask yourself, they all do tax returns, they all help you do financial planning, you know, minimize your tax burden, all this and that. So how do you stand out as an accountant to say, I'm the one you want to hire, right? So it's not, could you imagine an ad where it says, yeah, well, you know what, I add numbers really, 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 really well, so much better than everybody else. I'm the CPA you want. In reality, you have to stake a claim on a position. You have to find a unique thing that makes you stand out. I started out, and I coined the newsletter guru, and I suddenly became, through a lot of good marketing, I became the go-to guy for newsletter marketing. I've since branched out. But what you can do, and I'll tell you the way I found my CPA about 10 years ago, was I was using QuickBooks. Well, I still am. And I said, at a couple networking events, I said, yeah, I need a CPA. Who do you use? And I said, by the way, I want somebody who knows QuickBooks, because if I got a question, I don't want somebody, well, I know in Peachtree it does this or this, that, or the other thing. I want somebody who knows QuickBooks, and I also want somebody who focuses on entrepreneurial businesses. I know there's some big companies, and you could say, well, we got the big resources of a big company. We work with Fortune 500 companies, but we also work with entrepreneurs. No, I want to work with an entrepreneurial CPA who knows what it's like to run a home-based business. And one name came up three times. So the goal of positioning over procedure is when someone says, hey, who do you know that does this? Your name is the one that comes up. So that's strategy one. Do you want me to give you one more?
Yes, let's throw it out there. I like it.
Okay. I don't know if you can tell, but I've had some Christmas cookies before the call, so I'm kind of wired here. Okay, it's called risk reversal. Now, have you ever seen when someone goes to buy something, they're sit there hemming and hawing, they might think about it. In your head, as the salesperson or the owner of the company, you're going, oh my gosh, they're thinking about price. I'm wondering if they're thinking my service is too high. In reality, I'll guarantee about 99% of the time, they're playing the what-if game in their head. And well, what if it doesn't work? What if I give them this money? What if it's an online thing and it doesn't deliver? What if, what if, what if? So in reality, what you're doing in that situation is you've set it up so that the customer, your prospect at the time, is assuming most of the risk. Risk reversal is when you, as the business owner, assume the risk and make it therefore much easier for your customer to say yes. I'll give you an example. I talked earlier about one of my info training programs called Double My Retention. If you go to that website, and I sell for $197, if you go there, it's going to say, use this product for one full year, 12 months, give you a chance to implement everything. If it doesn't work, I'm pretty sure, because I've tried different reverse strategies, but I said, if you don't make at least four times your investment in new revenue, I'll give you your money back. And so one of the ways to do risk reversal is to make it completely a brain-dead issue, and also you want to lengthen the amount of time. If you look at some of these infomercials you see at night, they'll say, use it for 6 months. They don't say 2 weeks. Use it for 6 months and we'll give you triple back. We'll pay the freight back. We'll do this. We'll do that. They are completely removing all the risks. So risk reversal is a very powerful thing. Now, just like with my first example of, oh my gosh, I don't want to spend that money, I will say this. If you can't stand in front of a prospect and say with full authority and confidence that what you have is going to do what you say it'll do, then you better sell something else. So if you're going to stand behind your product anyway, stand behind it in a big way at the beginning of the relationship.
I like it. Risk reversal. Great term. So let's jump back over to marketing for a minute if we could. And thank you so much for allowing me. I said at the very beginning, I said jump around a little bit. I should highlight another one of your books called Stick, The Stick Like Glue, How to Create an Everlasting Bond with Your Customers so they spend more, stay longer, and refer more. And I know that relates back to the concept of who you are rather than what you sell. So I love that reference. But on the marketing point, back there for a minute, when you talk about strategies for marketing, if you couldn't do a newsletter, and I was excited to ask you this question, if the newsletter was not an option for you, what would you do next? What would you do next to market if you couldn't newsletter? Do you use it?
Well, I'm excited to give you this answer. I'm excited to give you this answer, Mark, because you agree with me. Videos. I have been doing weekly videos, Newsletter Guru TV. I'm almost starting my sixth year. Have never missed a week. When I started, I don't know if more than my mother and my sister watched it, but today I have thousands of people, entrepreneurs and small business owners, watch my weekly videos every single week. And without a doubt, that is one of the, well, it's probably the most powerful client attraction thing. Because here's the deal. When you're doing videos, and my videos average somewhere 6 to 9 minutes, 10 minutes. I don't time them to a certain thing. If I get a message, I get on, I share my message, and I get off. But more than anything, your videos will let people, here's an old expression, shows how old I mean, they'll take a full measure of you, okay? So there's no hiding in video. And so They get to know you. And I have had people, when I go to a lot of live events, people will walk up to me that I've never met. Oh, how's Toby? Toby's my beagle we adopted 4 years ago. Have you been kayaking lately? How's your grandson, Nathan? People feel like they know you in video. I had one gentleman, and this is an example that happens multiple times, but I love telling this story. We met at an event, and he said, you know what, I've been thinking about joining your coaching program. And we talked for about an hour, and he said, I'm ready to go. We shook hands as we're getting up and getting ready to walk back into the main room. He goes, you know something, Jim? I've been watching you jump off that dock for 2 years, and I finally decided you're the guy that I want to help me. Now, if you've never seen my videos, at the very beginning, I'm standing on a dock, and I say, you know, welcome to Newsletter Guru TV, a boatload of smart marketing and business building advice, and then I kind of turn my head, look at the water, and a little fun along the way, and I jump in the water. So when he said that, I'm like, first of all, I was happy I just got a new client, but I'm like, yes, videos, you know, they're out there selling constantly. Now, here's the thing, you have to be authentic. You cannot hide in video. I mean, if you know, maybe if you do them once or twice or three times and you kind of, yes, I'm Jim Palmer and I'm going to share some good advice with you. That's not me. I'm me the way we're talking right now. I'm a little high strung. I like to laugh. I like to talk fast and share some advice. If I mess up a word, I don't care. That's who I am. I'm very authentic. And so you're either going to attract people or you're going to repel people. Hopefully you will attract more than you repel, but it's the most powerful thing. And, you know, once in a while, you know, I'll do a certain episode and I'll think, that wasn't very good. And then I'll get some comments, Jim, that was powerful. That's me right now. I did an episode just a little while ago about how to survive a season of crisis or a season of struggle. And so many people are going through that now. And I shared about my first year in business, which was, you'll like this term, Mark, my first 12 months in business was revenue free. So I shared that story. And, you know, it just helps people connect with you. So video, without a doubt, is the way to go.
I like it. Very good. Well, this has been phenomenal. We've only got a couple minutes left. And if you wouldn't mind sharing where people can get your newsletter, maybe a little bit more information about some of these tips and strategies. I've been putting on the chat line several titles of the books. Let me repeat these. Of course, you can Amazon Jim Palmer, and you're going to see a lot of his books come up on Amazon. They're all available there. But a couple of the ones that were special to me was The Magic of Newsletter Marketing and The Fastest Way to Higher Profits. Two excellent books, folks, that you want to have on your iPad, your Nook, or your Kindle that you can be reading while you're on the road, while you have a few minutes. Pull out your reading device and check those out. And as many of you know, I encourage you to take and carry around with you regularly that little journal that you can, I call it the Moleskin, which you can get it right at the registers. You check out at Staples. Grab a little Moleskin and start writing down your thoughts and your goals and what you want, your objectives for the first quarter of 2015, what you want to accomplish throughout the year. And I think Jim's books are going to be a huge resource to you. So, Jim, how do people get more of you to learn more?
I appreciate that. And let me add one thing, because as you said, beginning of the year, everybody's setting goals. Ideas are nice. goals are nice, but it is only through relentless action and implementation are you going to grow a business. So have some good ideas, but for goodness sakes, get into action. Probably my home base, the best website, because I think at last count I had like over 40, is getjimpalmer.com, www.getjimpalmer.com. You'll find my blog there. You'll find links to my TV and video, and also my podcast, my books, my programs. The other thing you mentioned, and I appreciate that, is my Dream Business Academy. That's coming up in San Diego in May, and that's at Dream Biz Academy, dreambizacademy.com, and we can connect there. Any one of my websites, by the way, especially Get Jim Palmer, will have a box where you can get the first one or two chapters, I think, from four of my books and some other things, and when you download those, that will also put you on my newsletter list, so you'll start getting my newsletter.
I love it. Jim, phenomenal information. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope to have you back.
This was a lot of fun, Mark. I'd love to come back and spend a little more time with you.
We'll do it. Thank you, Jim Palmer, folks. Check him out. And big kudos there to him again for joining us. And folks, enjoy your holidays. And I'll see you next Tuesday after Christmas at 11 a.m. Pacific for another show.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.